Okay, next week we'll go back into Genesis, but this week I felt it was appropriate to share with you a devotional that I did on the first day we were there, because I wanted to lay the groundwork for the team of what we're doing out there, who it is we're dealing with, who it is we're dealing with in our own hearts, and how our hearts need to be right with the Lord in order to do any kind of a mission work. And you know, the mission field isn't just across the ocean, across the pond, as they say, but it can be in our own backyard. It can be everywhere that we go. And I'm going to have you turn to several verses. I want to start out with that great commission found in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. So if you would go there, please, this morning, Matthew 28, 16. Because this is the great commission that was given by Christ just before he ascended, the end of the ministry. His ministry on earth, that is. He has now sent the Comforter to give us insight into God's Word, to reveal the deep things of God. And he goes on in verse 16 in Matthew 28 and says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." So this is the Great Commission, to go out locally, to go out a little further. We have a radio station here that's now covering a good share of New York State with God's Word. We're to go out internationally. We're to go out because it's amazing. Wherever you go, you find lost people. And we should have those eyes for the lost. Turn to 1 Corinthians 16:9, as the Apostle Paul also addressed this. Now, we're to go out and teach all nations, because the fact is every soul that is ever born needs Jesus Christ in their life. And so many people don't know that. I didn't know it for the first 40 years of my life until the Lord revealed himself to me. But it's true. We all need Jesus, because there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And in 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul the Apostle says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." We have a great door. Everything, the mission field is most often on the other side of that door. That's where it starts. It begins right there at that door, or the front door. Sometimes unsaved people will come into the church just to see what we're all about. What is this place over in Macedon? They meet in a warehouse? I guess I could go there. It's not too churchy. You know, some people are put off by the churchy look, so we come to a warehouse, okay? God uses all people. He uses all things, but there's an effectual door open, Paul says, and it's on the other side of that door. The whole world is a mission field to all of us, and it's a great door. You know, the fields are white for the harvest, the Lord said, but the workers are few. It's hard to find people that will share. So we have this great door. He says it's effectual. That means it's powerful. It's alive. The Word of God can go out and touch lives. So we need to be taking it to people. And it has been opened for us. The whole world lies before us. The whole world needs us. Look at what's going on in the world. It's certainly not a Christian world. We're not loving one another in God's and Jesus' sense around the world. But realize also, and this was the point I wanted to make with the folks, is when we go out into the mission field, there are many adversaries. Because people don't want to know righteousness. They don't really want to know that God exists. They don't want to know who God is. They want to make up God in their own way. They want a cafeteria kind of God where you pick, well, I don't like hell, but I like heaven. I'm not too crazy about sin, so I don't want to have anything to, I don't want to use that word. You know, I just want to do what I want to do, and I want to make God into my image, and that's called idolatry. And God says he will have no idols before him. He'll have no other gods before him. So we have many adversaries out there that are actively against the Word of God. They're vehemently against the Word of God. And then there are others that are just kind of lukewarm. Oh, yeah, that may be good for you, but not for me. I talked to a man who out on the street one day who played pan flute, and he played the bagpipes. And I talked to him about the Lord. He didn't want to know anything about the Lord. He figured the Bible was all a big lie. Basically, all roads lead to God. And I suggested to him that Jesus said he was God, and if he's not God, then we should really throw out all that he said. He said, oh, no, you should take the good things, not throw. I mean, even if he was a crazy person in his eyes, he would take some of the good stuff, he said. So, you know, you have people that are kind of like in that weird lukewarm stage of adversary against God. But nevertheless, it is an adversary against God. But that the good news is that wherever we go, the enemy is there waiting for us. But God is there also, and he is victorious. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Because in here, I think the Apostle Paul shows the heart that we're to have for the lost. Because, you know, if we just look at them as dirty, rotten sinners, somebody that doesn't deserve to go to heaven, then that's not the heart that God had toward me. I was a lost sinner, and he revealed himself to me, but I didn't deserve it. He came because of grace. Philippians 3:17. Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, or our lifestyle, our life ultimately is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. Paul gives his heart here for the lost. He says he comes before them and tells of these lost people. He comes weeping. And Jesus wept over the town of Jerusalem, 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 as they rejected him. And he's weeping because he knows their end. You know, he sees their flippancy. A lot of people say, yeah, that's good for you. You needed God anyway. He'll see that hard heart that says, get out of my face. I don't want to hear those things. I have my own interpretation of who God is. And he has the philosophers, the religious, who says, wait, I'm not that bad. I can work my way to God. I've done enough good deeds this year to make my way to God. And it's all not true. Their end for all of them is destruction. And Paul sees that. And we need to look at the lost not just as dirty, rotten sinners, because we all were, and often, sometimes are again. But their end is destruction. And I would sometimes sit on the seat on the street by myself. We had a place called Walking Street where we often went. And they called it Walking Street because it was where you walked. Everybody was walking. There's no cars. Well, a few delivery trucks would come in. But it was basically a big open area, and there were shops on both sides, and we could go in and share. And the gang would get together and set up with guitar and djembe and start playing, and people would gather around, and as soon as they did, we'd walk over and share with them the good news. But their end was destruction. I would sit there some days and go off by myself and just pinpoint people as they walked by and pray for each one as to where they were. Lord, please touch their heart. They're lost. Their end is destruction, and they don't even know it. So many people are walking along this comfortable path to hell and don't even know they're going there. It's so awful. But at the same time, he says, even though their end is destruction, he says in verse 19 that the God is their belly and they mind earthly things, that they're still enemies of the cross. They're still enemies to the cross of Christ because they don't want to hear of him. We need to know that they're fighting against God. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not gathering into the kingdom, you're scattering. Jesus left no room for fence riders. There is no way to say, well, I just haven't made up my mind. That's a no. You haven't made up your mind. There is no fence riding in God's kingdom. But he says in verse 20 that our life, meaning the believer's life, he uses the word in the King James, our conversation, but it means our life is in heaven. You know, God, who sees the beginning from the end, looks down on earth and sees believers as already in glory with him. But he also knows that those who are already in hell We don't know who they are, though, so we need to be out reaching out to the lost because we don't know who's going and who isn't. We need to, their hearts, we look for those ones that have their hearts opened, as we shared in this area, down by the river, different places in the malls. He sees us in heaven. Our glory is with Him. Not because we're so good that I know the way there, that I've already thought it out, I've meditated my way to heaven, I'm going to just drive up there. You can't do that. We go there because He is able. He is able to save, and He is able to take us there. And we need to know a little bit more about our heart. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. One of the things that's helpful, for me anyway, is to know who God is. Because when I see who God is, I realize what a holy and pure God He is. And I see that sense of inability in my own strength to approach Him. Because I'm not holy. I'm not pure. I'm not perfect. The perfect one has already come and gone, and He hung on a cross 2,000 years ago. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I," this is Isaiah, "woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here I am, send me." So Isaiah is here, and he says, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. And I saw His holiness. I saw His purity. I had a sense of who He was. And I had a sense of who I am. And compared to a holy and pure and perfect God, all I could say was, "Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips." Remember, Paul, the apostle in Romans 7, said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" So he has this sense of his distance from the holy and pure God, and wondering, you know, what can I do? What can I do about this? Where can I go with what I see here? I love what it says in verse 4, though. It says that the doorposts were moved. When God speaks, everything gets moved. I think of the doorposts of our heart. Jesus says, "I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you let me in, I'll come in." And then we have this idea that hearts get moved. If doorposts can be moved by God's voice, certainly a heart, the doorposts of a heart can be moved. And that's what we were looking for over there. We were looking for people whose hearts might be open to receive and that wouldn't just turn around and walk away. When we'd ask them, "Have you given any thought to eternal life? Like, if you were to die today, where would you be next week?" I had someone say to me, "Actually, I have thought of that." "Well, do you know that it's known now?" "No, I didn't know that." "Well, yes, it is. It's known." So we have this this sense of God's holiness, the sense of our own unholiness, the ability of God to touch an unclean heart and make it clean in His sight. And it's all because we've seen the Lord. We've seen the King. And then the voice comes out, "Well, then, who's going to tell them about me? Who will go?" And Isaiah goes, "Well, I'm here." And it wasn't like, you know, "Here I am in all my strength." He had just said, "I'm a man of unclean lips. How can I speak for you, God?" But he says, "Here I am. Will you take me as I am, God?" And we all had to ask that question. Would you take us as we are, God? Because we have a team here. When God said, "Who will go?" We sent the message out to our fellowship. Well, who will go? And some said, well, here I am. I don't have a lot to offer, but I'll offer me. And that's the greatest offering we can make anyway. And everyone had to answer that individually. We had to each answer that call. We had to say, here I am. Send me, Lord. But then we also answered as a team, because we worked as a team and we worked together as a team. We would tag team. We would work, you know, as some were doing worship, others were just kind of floating around through the crowd. And as people would stop, you could walk up to them and say, what are they singing about? I remember walking up to someone who, a Baha'i, and I said, they're singing about God. And she said, yeah, I guess they are. And I said, do you know who God is? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a believer. I said, oh, really? In what way? She said, oh, I'm a Baha'i. So we had a nice long discussion about that. I don't know where it ultimately went, because I ended up leaving a tract behind. But you just never know. As we work as a team, we worked as a team together with one another to get to the lost. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. One of the scary things about being out in the streets talking to people is like, what would I say? How about, I like your country. Oh, isn't it yours? No, I'm from America. Oh, why are you here? Oh, to talk to you. You know, there are a lot of ways to open. You know, I used a few times, they're singing about God. Do you know God? You know, it's amazing how God will put ideas into your mind. Have you ever thought about eternity? Do you know where you'll be the day after you die? All kinds of questions just to prompt someone's heart, to get their attention, to start talking about eternal things. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full work, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. This, by the way, were the last words of Paul, written anyway, in 2 Timothy. He says, I'm ready to be offered. He said, I'm ready to die for my Lord. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. My course, not somebody else's course. We all have a personal walk with the Lord that we have to finish. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Finishing well is so important. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I'm going to love his appearing when he appears in the clouds and takes us out of here. But he talks about that soon coming day of judgment that seems to be close upon us. But one of the things we had to do was to be instant in season and out of season. We had to be ready to speak when we weren't ready to speak. We had to exercise a level of boldness when we didn't feel a level of boldness. When God tells you, go speak to that person, and you don't go, you're in disobedience. So there had to be an in season and out of season. In season kind of means when you're prepared and ready. You know, I have decided that for every Sunday that I teach, I would like a month to prepare. And same for Wednesday. So I need 2 months to prepare for every Sunday and Wednesday. I don't get it. I get hours, maybe. But need to be ready in season and out of season, when you don't feel prepared and when you do. God will give us the words to speak. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Just stay in the Word of God and keep those words hidden in your heart, and they'll come out of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, go backwards to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I just want to read two things that I used as an exhortation to. Well, we had a lot of a big age spread here. I think it went from 16 to 64. I was on the top end. You probably knew I wasn't the 16. But the 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So we're to be an example in the way that we live, in the way that we talk, in the way that we move. We're to be an example to all ages, at any age. So he's encouraging the young people, hey, don't be discouraged. God can use you. I watch the young people walk up and get conversations going with some of the younger kids that would have run from me, probably. But we can be an example to all ages at any age. It just says, you know, whether you're young or old, I'll use you. You just stay available and I'll use you. I'll give you the words that you need. So remember where our mission field is. It's everywhere on the other side of that door. And that if we're willing to simply say, here I am, I don't know what I have to offer, send me, God will use you. Whether it's over and across the street in Wally World, or whether it's in the restaurant having breakfast some morning, or at your workplace, if you're saying to the Lord, you know, I'm in my Judea and Jerusalem right now, I'm close to home, but you sent me out into this job or into this supermarket, use me. Use me now. We can be used at any age, to any age, in any circumstance, because it's God who does the work in us. And just to share a little bit about what went on, I asked each of the team members to just come up for a couple of minutes, okay, just to say a few words. Bill, you're up first. You get the lucky first shot. And we're just going to have a few words each. I won't give them any. Come on up, Bill. No special guidelines, but just to say what the Lord might have shown you or what you experienced while you were there.
That's fine. Good morning. I just wanted to, maybe some of you don't know why we went to Finland. I'll give you a quick summary. There was a guy who grew up in our church. He was not saved. He met with Cardi. The Lord saved his heart. He went to Bible college in California and in Hungary. Found a wife. Got married. They came and lived around here for about a year, and then the Lord called him to Finland. And so they went to Turku, Finland, and they started a church there. They've got a young fellowship going there. And there's a couple in our fellowship and a bunch of people, actually, that are still keeping in contact. And so this missions team was assembled by the Lord to go out there and to help them, to help their fellowship and to reach out to the Turku people to share Jesus. And I guess the thing that the Lord showed me the most on this is how we are each a part of the body of Christ. Cardi kind of alluded it to earlier. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation whereby ye are called. And if you read the chapter, it talks about the different spiritual gifts, the different gifts that everyone is given. And same in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and other places, it talks about the spiritual gifts. And if you look at the team, one of the things that I've noticed in the trip was the Lord had assembled a team with all the spiritual gifts that were needed for us to go there and to act as a team for Him, to reach out to the people there, whether it was a gift of organization, the gift of leading worship, the gift of exhortation, the gift of sharing the gospel, of preaching, of teaching. We had people in all different aspects of that represented, and the Lord had really used it to reach out to the community. Like Cardi was talking, we spent a lot of time in worship in the streets, and that was my major role, is singing with the worship team. I did have an opportunity to talk to a number of people where we were reaching out either along the river in Turku or along the street or in the marketplace. There are benches for people to sit down, and a lot of times you'll see someone sitting alone, so you'd come over there and sit down and introduce yourself and share the Lord with them. And a lot of people had got people that were interested. All the people I talked to weren't. I remember a particular gentleman I was talking with. He was telling me how he was a member of some society of the Lutheran Church for Turku and stuff like that. And I asked him about Jesus, and he said, well, he thought that all, you know, most people were going to go to heaven. And I shared with him that, well, yeah, but the Lord said that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through Him. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, you're right, that's true. And he slapped me on the shoulder and he said, have a good day. And he got up and walked out. And I was with Mike at the time. We got up and walked, and I happened to see him in front of me. And he went down about 4 or 5 benches and sat down. So it was clear he wasn't interested in hearing what I had to say. But those are chances that we had to, you know, it's our job. The Lord gives us the job to preach the word, to preach the gospel of Jesus. And it's His Spirit that works in the people's hearts, that whether it's the seed is planted and as far as growth of the Spirit, that's the Spirit that's job to do that. So we preach the gospel, and I really enjoyed working with the team, being a part of the team, seeing the young fellowship that's kind of just been birthed over there. I guess they've been there for a year or so now. I don't remember the exact time. I know it's at least a year, or 2 years maybe, because we've had a team go over there 2 years ago, so it's over 2 years. And seeing, you know, Bobby as the pastor and Aaron as the worship leader and the wives that they brought in and now the new kids that they have, just seeing the Lord work in that community. And we just pray that that there would be growth, that the Spirit of the Lord would move. As many of the people said that shared, you know, some people were just so close to accepting. They knew about Jesus, but they just haven't accepted Him as Lord and Savior. So I guess I'll stop there and let the rest of the team share. I think Mary Kay was next.
Yeah, Mary Kay, you're up next. Yeah, that was one of I didn't reach anybody that really was too interested either. There are a lot of people who are religious. You know, they think they know the path to God, but we actually had a track to all roads lead to God, and that was pretty effective.
It was a wonderful trip. It was awesome. We had a lot of opportunities, and the Lord was very faithful to bring people to us. He did point them out, and we were faithful to follow up, and I can't say that anybody actually said to me that they were going to accept the Lord, but there was a lot of people, there was a lot of promise there. But the Lord put on my heart something different to share this morning, and it was about Bob and Maddie and the very hard soil that they have over there. And I think as a team going over, we can now see just how hard it is because they have a state church, the Lutheran church, and they don't really care about God. They've been baptized, and they feel that, you know, if they lead a fairly decent life, they'll go to heaven, if they even believe that. So one of the things that the Lord put on my heart to share with you is we had a Saturday where we were doing a children's ministry, and there was 1,500 of these flyers that we went out and delivered to homes, and they have big apartment buildings. So there was 1,500, and they all got delivered except this one. And we had the outreach, and it was like we had refreshments, and we had things to make for children, bracelets, and you know, just a lot of things. And we were hopeful that we would get, you know, a few people to come. Actually, probably we had a hope that we'd get a lot of people to come. And actually, one mother came with her little daughter. And, you know, at the time we were all there, we were there. So it wasn't like we all fell apart and was terribly discouraged, because we had the fellowship of each other to be there together. But that's what they're up against. Not, you know, one family, one mom and a little girl out of 1,500 flyers. I mean, it would be very discouraging if, you know, if you had to deal with that all the time. So, and they do have a wonderful little fellowship. It's young people. And again, I think that there was some hope that maybe they'd get more involved, just, you know, to get out there and get involved. And I think they didn't do probably as much as was hoped for even there. So I think that Bobby and Maddie deal with a lot of discouragement. So I guess the thing I would just like us all to do is really to remember them and pray for them, myself, a lot more than what we do. And they have a lot of struggles, you know, personal struggles and financial struggles. So, I mean, if the Lord puts on your heart to help them in any way, please do that. But especially pray for them and their ministry, because it's a hard place where they are. And that's really all I had to share. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary Kay. One of the Sunday that I was there, that I taught, I shared on 1 Peter chapter 5, and part of that those verses is, feed the flock of God which is among you. And I knew that would minister to Bobby because, you know, it doesn't matter if there's one in front of us. If we're called a pastor, teach. If there's one person, if there's three people, if there's 300, we give the gospel. That's just how it is. So, you're right. It's very hard soil over there, but God is still faithful. And, you know, what's interesting is the flag of Finland has the cross. It's like the whole thing is white with a big blue cross. But they've left the cross of Christ. I don't mind.
I just wanted to share part of a devotional that I did on, I think it was Thursday, if I remember right. But I just wanted to read from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 8 through 11. And it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, which builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I guess as I was preparing for this devotional, I was trying to think of, you know, what I'd learned from the days that we've been there. And one thing that really touched me was, I was thinking about why did Bobby and Madi come to Finland in the first place? They went out, it's just like when I was talking about Abraham, he went not knowing where he was going. And I was thinking why did they go? And and one thing that was really cool was, you know, reading like the newsletters and stuff, you don't really know the people that you're reading about. And I'm just going and realizing that they're not like super Christians or something like that. They're just normal people, and that are following God. And I had an Isaiah 26:3. This is one of my favorite verses, and it just really blessed me that I think, you know, the only difference is what it says here. It says, you'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And that is what Bobby, Madi, and Aaron, and Sarah, and Kyle, and the whole team over there, they trust that God is going to provide. And they're not thinking about, you know, how is it going to work out? I don't know. You don't have to work and strive. They simply trust that God is going to provide for them. And it's really cool, you know. It's one thing, you know, saying that you trust God and saying that you would go anywhere, but it's one thing actually doing it and following through with it. And it's really cool just to see the faith that they have and just relying completely on God, that their mind is stayed on Him. And I was thinking about, you know, I was trying to examine my own heart, and I'd always thought that, you know, I would go wherever God called me, and I'm wondering, is my mind stayed on Christ? Is my mind stayed on God? Do I just say that, or do I really do it? And am I willing to completely live out the promises of God? When God promises something, like when he called Bobby and Madi out there, and they went knowing that God would be faithful to provide for them. And again, like Mary Kay said, I would please pray for them. I was really blessed to be around them and to see how they trust God so much. And I know it can be a little lonely out by themselves, and I know they have each other, and it's just great. And it was really a blessing to be over and encourage them. And I also want to thank you all for your prayers very much. We really felt it. I think we're really, in truth, we're held up by your prayers. So it was a blessing. And I just hope that we'd all keep in mind to pray for them and that God would bless them in their ministry.
Thanks, Mike. I thought I was stretching everybody by telling them they had 1 to 2 minutes to share. You can see there's a lot here to say. Stephanie. Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. Deer in the headlights.
Good morning. I love going on mission trips and taking that step of faith, really, and saying, Lord, I'm going to go and do it. And you always see God's faithfulness, and he answers your prayers. And I know we're all praying, you back here and us and the team going over there, that, you know, the Lord would do amazing things. And he did. You know, I went, and I really was praying that, Lord, give me boldness, because it isn't natural for me go up to a stranger and start a conversation with them, something that just isn't part of what I'm used to. And so going on a trip that's solely bent on sharing the gospel, I was like, Lord, you know, it's nothing I can do, but you're able, you're faithful. And, you know, getting there and seeing the people, he really gave me a heart for the people that no one else or no one would want to talk to, the ones that were half drunk or stoned, or, you know, the ones that just didn't look normal. I got to talk to so many people and share the gospel. And the joy of sharing the gospel is so amazing. To be able to go there and to see this person that has made a ruin of their life, and they're out in the street, probably on welfare and half drunk, and it's 9 a.m, and you're up there, and you get to share with them the hope of the gospel. And, you know, I've been to different countries and around here locally and talking to people, and you always see that Jesus meets every person where they're at. It doesn't matter what culture they're from or what background. Every person, each person is the same at the core. Might have a different background, different culture, different food we eat, different clothes we wear, but at the core of it, we all have the same need. And the Lord had me reading Hebrews when I was over there, and so the more I get up and read this book, and it's always talking about how Jesus is better, and of the power of the gospel, and the power of his sacrifice on the cross. So I'm going to read Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. Something I picked to give an example of what the Lord was showing me. Hebrews 9:11 says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled unclean sanctify us to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So I was reading, you know, these verses, something like this, through Hebrews, and in the morning reading that, and then getting out in the street and seeing people that were utterly hopeless, talking to a guy on the canal or the river there who said, you know, I'm an alcoholic. He had very broken English, couldn't speak very well. But he said, I don't have a hope. I don't have hope. I'm an alcoholic. And I got to sit with him and share and say, you know what? The Bible says that the Son will make you free. You shall be free indeed. Jesus can set you free. And I love that, you know, because Jesus, his work on the cross and the salvation he offers and the eternal redemption is so powerful, and it meets everybody, no matter where they are at, no matter what country they're from or what culture, what background, because everyone needs Jesus. And we get to be out there. I know I was encouraged personally that I was out in Finland to come back home and to reach the people here even more, you know, with a passion to reach the lost in this community. Because they're all around us. You know, it isn't just Finland or just over in Europe, but right here, people need Jesus. And so that was something that really struck my heart. And I hope that we as a body of Christ could be encouraged and exhorted to be active, serving Jesus and sharing his love with those around us, because they need it and they don't have hope. But Jesus offers the only hope in the world that is really true and solid. So.
And any who know Tim might find it surprising that he's shy. But you can see the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome those areas that we have weaknesses in and step forward in his strength. Steph.
Hey. For you guys that don't know me, I'm Stephanie. And this was my second trip to Finland. It was incredible. Like, I could spend hours talking about it, but since we only have a few minutes, I'll try to cut it short. First off, I want to read a verse from Joshua 1:9, and it was the verse that the Lord gave me when he showed me to come on this trip. It says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And on this trip, that verse continually gave me comfort, and in the times where I was scared to go up to people and share the gospel, the Lord just brought that verse back into my mind, and he just showed me that he had a reason for me to be there and that he was going to give me the words, even though I had no clue what to say until I got there. And as I opened my mouth, the Lord just gave me the words. The second day that we were in Finland, we were in the mall because it was raining. And that's where all the young kids go, and everyone goes when it's raining. They're just floods of people in the mall. While we were there, I got an opportunity to talk to a girl. Her name was Pia, and she was about 21, I think. I saw her sitting alone on the stairs in the mall, and I felt the Lord leading me to go talk to her. So I went over, and I started a conversation, and the way I started conversations over there was, do you speak English, first of all, because you start talking and they don't understand what you're saying. But so I would ask her that, and I told her where I was from and why I was there, and turns out she was in New York a few weeks before, New York City. But as I got talking to her, the first question I asked her was, where she thought she would go when she died. And she really didn't know. I mean, she didn't know at all. And I asked her, I was like, doesn't that scare you? Like, you could walk out on the street any moment and get hit by a bus or something, and believe me, it's possible because the bus drivers there are crazy. But, she was listening to every word, you know, and I was saying, but she looked very, very scared in a way when I asked her. And as I was talking to her and I just shared the gospel message with her, and when I told her God sent his only son to die on a cross for her sins, and I just shared that with her, and her eyes just got so big, and she's just like, why would he do that? And I was like, because he just loves you so much. And she just couldn't believe that someone would do that, send his only son to die on a cross, be nailed to a cross for her sins. And it was, she just couldn't believe that kind of love, you know. And I was like, I know, it amazes me every day just how much he loves me, you know. We're all sinners and in need of a Savior, and he came and died so that we might have eternal life. And I just kept on sharing with her and for a while, and John came over after a while and he started talking to her too. And we gave her tracts and the eternity track, and I told her about the church and everything like that. And at the end, I gave her a hug and, said it was nice meeting you. And she started to walk away, and she turned around and she's like, I hope to see you in heaven someday. And I was like, yeah, I really hope to see you in heaven someday. And she was just so close. Like, she was just so interested in everything I had to say. And I just really pray that I will get to see her in heaven someday. It was just, that was one of like the big things that really just opened my eyes and just gave me a hunger to share the word even more, because I just saw the need and just how many people are clueless. They don't know anything. They're just fed these lies that from different religions, different people that try to convince them of things, and they just are searching for something to hold on to. And it just really opened my eyes. And it was just, man, there's so many things I could share. But it was just such a blessing, and I would really like to go back someday. I don't know when, but, I mean, we all want to go. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Finland? I mean, it's just the fact, it's just Europe or whatever. But I know I'm supposed to, the Lord has just put a desire in my heart for missions, but I don't know where the next place will be. I just pray the Lord just show me, and then I just follow his will. And I just want to share one more thing real quick. The day that we were passing out the flyers for the Children's Day, it was just a memory that I'll just hold on to forever. John, Mary Kay, and I, we were together passing out flyers to different apartments, and we were walking up the sidewalk, and we saw this, I think they were Indian. There's this mom and her two little kids, and her little boy was walking at the side of her stroller, and Mary Kay went up to her and gave her a flyer, and we were just standing there, and, you know, I don't think she could speak English very well, but the little boy, the little Indian boy, I was just standing next to him, and he just grabbed my hand. Like, I was just standing right next to him, and, you know, it was just out of the blue. He just grabbed my hand, and he just looked up at me and smiled, and I was like, it just, like, my heart, like, melted. I was like, oh my goodness. And it was just, again, just, like, I saw, even in this little boy's eyes, just, you know, that he was just, I don't know. I mean, I hope that he saw, you know, the love of Jesus in me, you know. I mean, it's so random, you know, a little boy, I have never seen him in my life. He just grabbed my hand, and I just pray that, you know, someday he will. I'll see that little boy in heaven. But I don't know, I just encourage you guys to just be bold for Jesus and go out and share his love. It's just an amazing thing just to serve the Lord in every aspect of your life. Just commit your life to Him, and the best thing you could ever do. So, thank you.
Thanks, Steph. You can see how just having a verse, you can hold on to that verse, and the Word of God is alive and speaks to us. Trey?
Wow, what a blessing it is to be back in America. Finland, it's a great place. It's pretty wild. It's really not that much different from America. When we got off the plane, I was like, man, should I be feeling any different? I mean, it was like being in like downtown Rochester, basically, except for everyone doesn't speak English that well. But I've learned so much from this trip. It was my first trip, actually, out of the country. And I could go on of everything I've learned, but the thing I've learned the most is probably to be thankful for what you have. Because in Finland, they don't have much variety of stuff. They're pretty limited, it seems. And that's just a blessing, just coming back here. And I was at Walmart the other day, just looking around. I was like, whoa, there's so much stuff. And it's just great to be here. And I just love for you all to just pray for Bob and Madi, because they're just so bold just to go leave this country and go to a foreign place where people don't come to church. You have to go out and get them. It's very difficult, and they're not really open. And I'd just also like to share just one more thing, the people that touched me the most. The same day that Stephanie talked to that one girl, Pia, there was another girl sitting on the steps a little way to the left, and Pia looked like a cute little brown-haired girl, and this girl was like opposite. She was four lip rings, gauged ears, like huge ones, purple hair. It was pretty wild. And so I told John, I think I'm going to go talk to this girl. So I sat down, and I asked her if she spoke English. And she said she did, so I started talking. I told her I was from America. She asked why we were here, and I told her that, I said, just tell you about Jesus. And she looked at me, and she's like, huh? I was like, and I started telling her about the gospel, and she was really interested in what I had to say. I could tell there was something about her. She just wanted to learn more. And throughout the whole week, like, we saw her every other day just about. And I talked to her just a little bit about Christ, just a little bit every day. And Tim helped me a little. And we invited her to come to church with us on Wednesday. But she said, like, the next day when we saw her, because she didn't come, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I missed it. I had something else going. But I don't know. I hope to go there again and see her again. And yeah, that's probably just about it.
Thanks, Trey. Pat.
Good morning. You know, I came back. I got a cold on my way home. Praise God, I didn't get it when I was there. This was my second mission trip. But this one was so different than the first one. The first one, we went to India, and we were ministering to the body of Christ in India. This one was going out on the streets and trying to share the words of eternal life with people who really didn't want to hear them. It was a very different environment. And as Tim shared, it's not as easy as you think. You might be, even in the place where Cardi and Tim and I all teach, people sitting, looking at you who want to be taught, or counsel people who call on the phone because they need counsel. But when you go there into the streets, it was one thing that John had shared that I was so thankfully shared. He said, you know, don't feel under obligation to just shotgun people, walk up and start handing out tracts. But he said, pray, and ask the Lord to show you who it is He would have you to share with. And I'll tell you, I got a little bit bummed the first day. I'm praying, and I'm looking around, and I'm going, okay, Lord, You haven't told me to share with anybody yet. So I just was standing there singing with everybody. finally I see this group that keeps on growing bigger and bigger and bigger, probably from here to the sound booth away, hiding kind of behind a planter, a great big, oh, these planters were like 10 feet tall, full of flowers. There were little boys, well, little, 10 to 16 years of age. And I went, Lord, I think you're telling me to go talk to those kids. Well, they were Russians. Most of them didn't speak English, but some of them did. And it was really sweet to share with these kids. And they finally ended up coming over to the group, and I didn't know that Aaron, who's serving with Bobby, speaks fluent Russian. So it was really interesting to see God touch these kids. And one of them in particular came up to me. He was trying to give me money, saying, here, this is for you people, to help you. And I said, no, we're not here for your money. We don't want anything from you. We want to give you something. And those verses, the Lord gave me these in a group of verses to speak to my heart, to say, yes, you are to go. And it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I saw that. I saw that in reality as we were over there. And just I wanted a little postscript to Tim and that drunk that he talked to down by the river for so long that day. God is so faithful. And this is one of the things that touched my heart so much. I was standing by the clock in the rain on the walking street waiting to meet up with other people in the group. And this man comes over to me and asks me something in Finnish. And I looked at him and I went, English only? And he says, oh, I speak English. It was the same drunk that Tim had talked to several days before down by the river. He wanted to know if I had a bottle opener. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. So he walked away, and he found another drunk walking down the street who had a bottle opener. He had a bottle of beer. Now, this is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He was going to open it up. And he started drinking it. And then he comes back over because he was provoked by the fact we spoke English. And by then, Tim and Steffi had rejoined me. And again, he told me that he was without hope, that he was an alcoholic. And I shared the words with him that the Lord put on my heart, that, you know what, we are all hopeless without Jesus Christ, and that Jesus wants to set you free. And again, he took a track for me. And afterwards, after we talked for probably 5 or 10 minutes, when he left, Tim said, oh, I gave him a track too a few days ago. I said, well, you know, I just love the way God is so faithful, because that man either lost the track, didn't read it, or maybe he read it and he was too drunk to understand it. But God loves him so much that he gave him a second opportunity because he wanted a bottle opener. He walks up to another person from the same team from the United States there to share the message with him. And I was like, well, Lord, you are so awesome. You do direct our steps. And I was just standing there praying, you know, Lord, it just looks like it's rainy, it's gray, and there isn't going to be any opportunity this afternoon. And he brought him to me, and then he brought another girl later. And it was a real blessing, and I would go back in a minute. I just have such a heart for those people. As Tim said, you see these people who are so lost and so desperate, and some of them not very interested, and others, as that girl Stella, I talked with her too, you see a spark of interest in their eyes, and you just think, oh, Lord, if we only had more time here. But the Lord has more time. And he is faithful. So I'll just leave it there. God bless you.
And God even opened that opportunity up, because we were supposed to meet with them at 1 o'clock and we were like 45 minutes late. So it was in that time that the Lord opened that second opportunity for Pat. So God uses all things. Michael?
Yeah. So I know we're running a bit over. So like they said, people before me, there's way too much to cover to ever cover in an hour, much less 2 minutes. So I'm just going to go through these quickly. A couple of things that I learned, really more observations that I've made that I haven't fully processed yet. First thing I've learned is that, or I observed, is that almost everybody that I've met already believed in something. A man named Donnie told me he believed in science. A woman I met in Helsinki, who I forget her name, told me that she believed in art. There was a man named Kunor and his friend from Turkey who considered themselves Muslim because they were from Turkey. But Kunor's friend said to me, I believe in what I feel in my heart. I have my own religion. A second observation I had was, when presented with the gospel, many people said, I don't want to think about these things. meaning they didn't want to think about God or Jesus. They just wanted to forget about it. Don't turn there, but in Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 20, God had warned Israel what would happen if they forgot about him. And I ask you to, you know, go there in your own time and read it, but essentially God said, you know, you're going to get prosperous once you get in the land. You're going to forget about me. Beware. Don't forget about me. If you do, you're going to fall away. Judges 3:7 tells us that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and ended up serving the Baals and the Asherahs. So people forgetting about God or not wanting to think about God and then believing in other things is not new. It goes back to the Old Testament, and this really just kind of confirmed to me that people really haven't changed in the last, you know, 4,000 years. Third, if I thought about the parable of a sower in Matthew 13, I learned that I couldn't necessarily tell the type of ground that the seed was landing on just by looking at a person, how they dress, who they hang out with. Many times we witnessed to people that were in groups, and some people's hearts were open and other people's hearts were very closed. I think about Ethan, who was a Jew from Israel who I talked to. He was much more receptive than his friend, who was also a Jew. And again, Kunor, the Muslim from Turkey, was much more receptive than his friend. He ended up taking a Gospel of John from me, and he told me he would read it. There were also two young men in Turku who were obviously drug addicts. They told me the closest thing they ever came to God was being on LSD. And as one of them, I was talking to one of them, his friend, shortly after I talked to them, was being hauled off by the police. They obviously arrested him for drugs a few minutes after I talked to him. The other one took a couple of tracks from me. And I was very uplifted by that. And finally, I learned that God has his faithful everywhere. I met a lot of really great believers while we were in Turku, both people that were members of Bobby's church as well as others. One woman and her husband told me about their three-year trip as an evangelist traveling from country to country on a boat telling people of Jesus Christ. So these are the things, briefly, that I learned there, and I think all that's left is John.
And one good thing also, no matter where you go, the arguments are all the same. People think about the same, as Mike shared. They have all the same arguments, and we can have similar responses no matter where we are in the world.
And I will try to keep this brief, because we are running over. But first and foremost, thank you to everyone that was praying for us. Your prayers were felt the entire time we were there. I guess I'd like to bring this back to the beginning. And a set of coincidences or seeming coincidences that brought Bob and Madi to our fellowship and sent them to Finland to start a church is the reason that we went over there as a group. And as I'm sure if you talk to members of the team, you'll realize that what they are doing there is not fun. It's not easy. They have sacrificed so very much to do the work of the Lord. They do not have the comforts that we have back here. They do not have the friends and the networks that we have back here. They do not have the fellowship with fellow believers that we have back here. And at times, they grow very weary. I had time to spend alone with Bobby on a ride to and from his apartment, and he is weary in well-doing. He is discouraged at the circumstances that he finds he and his wife and new child in. And my exhortation to all of you, as I read from Hebrews 12, verse 12, I beseech you all, if nothing else, that you write their names down on your hearts and pray for them daily, because it's very difficult, extremely difficult, and without your prayers and without your support, their hands will fall off the plow and they will give up the mission that God has called them to. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, the writer tells us, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." If we do nothing else for Bob and Madi, we need to encourage them through our prayers, that they know that we are thinking about them daily, that we are praying for them, that God would encourage them to stay the course that He's called them to. They are doing an awesome work in Finland, and it's almost like they cannot see the forest for the trees because they are so involved and the ground is so hard, and they see so little fruit that they become discouraged. And when we go over as Americans and we see the great things God is doing, we do not want them to abandon ship. We do not want them to take their hand from the plow. So as God stirs your heart, please remember them. Pray for them. If He is stirring your heart to support them, please support them. Bobby had to go back to work 3 days a week to support his wife and family. And it's difficult. It's very trying. We were so blessed to go over. I want to thank the team that went with us. They were a blessing to work with. They were so cooperative. And we touched so many lives. I did a list. There were over 77 names of just individuals. That doesn't include the names that were forgotten. That doesn't include the groups of people that we talked to. God is doing a work in Finland. And just to remember that God is also doing a work in Macedon. Become involved in the work of the Lord. Become involved in the Great Commission. Share your faith with someone, because it's the greatest thing we can ever do in this life. And anything else pales by comparison. Jesus loves our neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow students. He desires that you would share the love of Christ with them. And I encourage you to do that. Take that step of faith and be bold for the Lord. And bring Jesus Christ to someone near to you that you love as well. Thank you.
I think it was Paul said, "Without Him we can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And that's where Bob and Madi are now, to do things in the strength of the Lord. Because we can't do anything in God's kingdom without the strength of the Holy Spirit. And I like what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. He was talking about the rapture, but "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And that was what we were there for, was to comfort them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. And I'm sure our mission was successful, and we will continue to pray for them. I pray that this was an encouragement and a comfort for all of you to see what God is doing around the world. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank You for that great commission that You've put on our hearts, Lord, that we should go out to our local area, to our state, to our country, to other countries, to spread the good news, the greatest news to all of mankind, the only news that saves mankind from the treachery and the penalty of sin. So, Lord, I do pray for encouragement for Bobby and Madi, Aaron and Sarah and Kyle, Lord, as they do that work that no one can do without Your presence, Lord, without Your Holy Spirit. So strengthen us all, and we thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.